Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Praise to you, Lord.
Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowd came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his customs post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. While there was a table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes who were Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. Come to the end of the first week of Ordinary Time, in which we have been pondering the letter of the Hebrews and the Gospel of St. Mark, and they converge. The letter of the Hebrews is all about how God has spoken his definitive word in the flesh, in the incarnation. And so Jesus' word and words and example are so significant for Christians in every age, but especially Christians in an age of suffering, in an age of hardship, in an age of persecution. This is the Word through whom all things were made. This is the one whom we see in today's Gospel speaks in a living and effective way, sharper than any two-edged sword. Living, has the ability to bring to life. It's the one who creates at the beginning and constantly recreates, like we see in Matthew's life in the Gospel, like we see in the life of Zacchaeus, like we see in the life of the woman caught in adultery, like we see with the woman and Simon the Pharisee's house. Brings to life. Jesus has the words of eternal life, and his words are not just living, but they're performative, they're effective. When he speaks, something happens. Sometimes we don't listen quite with that attentiveness, that when Jesus speaks, reality changes. But it does. Sharper than any two-edged sword, which was the greatest weapon of antiquity. Today we might say sharper than any surgeon's scalpel. It's able to cut through any obstacle, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's able to cut us from our sins. It's able to give us a definitive break. This is a good thing, not a scary thing. Just like a cancer patient wants to have the cancer excised and to have the instruments to be able to do it. So this is what the Word of God is capable of doing. Why? Because it's able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. It's able to judge. It's able to see what the living cells are from the cancer cells. It's able to do that even in the heart. And that's because the Word has nothing concealed from him. Everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. And again, that's not a scary thing that we're naked before the Lord, because the Lord sees precisely those areas in us that need to be healed by his life-giving performative word. That's why we get to the second part. If we happen to be afraid of anything, secrets that we have that God knows but that we try to hide from everybody else, sins, whatever, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And so therefore, let us hold fast to our confession, even when people are threatening to kill us as a result, not to mention everything in between. Because this high priest is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. The most consoling words, frankly, in all of sacred scripture come here. He's been tested in every way we have, yet without sin. Every way we have. He understands the trials we endure, and he comes with sympathy. Because of this fact, he doesn't say, so sin, 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 because he understands the temptation. But he understands the temptation, and he gives us his strength, the power of that life-giving, effective word, to be able to help us precisely then. All last week, I was preaching to the seminarians 14 different times on the words, do not be afraid. God's able to strengthen us with that word in those circumstances. And that's why, with confidence, with strength, we approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace for timely help. He's there, and he has opened up the point of access so that we can go before the throne of his Father to receive mercy if we fall, but grace under trial. These are the encouraging words. Jesus understands what we're enduring, and he's there. We see a consequence of this in the life of St. Matthew. We see his conversion story. We see the power, the living and effective power of Jesus' word. Sharp enough to be able to cut Matthew from all his money, which was the reason for his existence, before Jesus came to meet him at his customs post. Follow me. And he got up and followed Jesus. What incredible power that was. That wasn't just because of the actual phonetic sounds, but it was because of the person who was giving those. And Jesus described how he had come as that surgeon with that scalpel. Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Sometimes we can think sin so corrupts a person that the person becomes bad. Jesus is the divine physician with that surgical scalpel who recognizes that the person remains always the very good that he had created, but that he needs to, with the power of his word, excise what's morally bad from what's morally and ontologically very good. When I was with Pope Francis in the American Bible Society on October 31st, when he greeted us and gave us a reflection on today's first reading. He wanted Catholics and evangelicals to recognize what an incredible treasure we have in the Word of God. So he gave his 3 points, the first of how living this Word of God is, creative in the beginning and constantly recreative, how effective it is, that it has power, and we need to be confident in that power. And third, that it judges, it's able to discern thoughts and reflections of the heart. So he's able to allow us to share in that judgment, but a judgment that leads us to the throne of mercy always, a judgment that leads us to the throne of grace. Ultimately, that deeply informs our own judgment and conscience. And he encouraged the American Bible Society to continue to make popular this living word. We think about that great gift to the Word of God in the second day of the octave of prayer for Christian unity, that it is because of our mutual love for the Word of God that we might allow its power, especially Jesus' words enunciated at that first Mass, that we might be one just as the Father and he are one by the unitive work of the Holy Spirit to happen. In the great way that Jesus makes his word powerful in our life is as that word takes on flesh and dwells within us in Holy Communion.